Here we are again, right where we've found ourselves so many times before. Standing on the back porch of a year, so to speak, a year just about gone. At the same time, we're about to step through the door of a new year, somewhat excited, I hope, to turn the page and see what challenges await us in the year 2019. Of course, there will always be a part of us that would wish that things could just be the same. A sort of irrational one-sidedness to us, a little bit afraid, maybe even a little bit lazy or selfish. But here we are. And I guess we'd better be ready to go. The title of our lesson this morning is based on what God said to Moses in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 15, where God said, "Tell the sons of Israel to go forward." Now that command comes as Israel is gathered on the banks of the Red Sea with Pharaoh and his Egyptian army closing in on them. And Pharaoh fully intends to take them back to Egypt, back to the back-breaking slavery and servitude. And purely from the standpoint of the Israelite people, everything that they hadn't even really gotten good started in now was about to be lost. In fact, the future from their vantage point seemed to be so dark for them that we find them going ahead and getting an early start on the groaning and the moaning that would come from them so often during the next generation of traveling toward the promised land of Canaan. In verse 10, there in Exodus chapter 14, the Bible says, "And as Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became very frightened, so that the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. And then they said to Moses, 'Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us this way in bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, "Leave us alone so that we may serve the Egyptians"? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." That's pretty negative. That's bad. When you think back to everything that they had just witnessed over the past weeks and months, as this thing began building to the crescendo when they would finally be allowed to go, the plagues that God had sent on Egypt, the devastation of their land and their people at the hand of God, so that, as God said, Pharaoh will know that I am Jehovah. And Pharaoh had found out. Finally, with that culminating plague, the death of the firstborn, the point at which even the firstborn of the animals in Egypt perished. And Pharaoh finally said, go, get out of my sight, leave my land, take this people and go. But then, of course, he changed his mind. And now he's coming after them. And they're standing there on the bank of the Red Sea, and they begin to complain to Moses, and Moses said, hold on. Be still. Be quiet. Just wait. You are about to witness something, and then you won't have to worry about Pharaoh anymore. And it was then that God said to Moses, tell the sons of Israel to go forward. The heart of that instruction is there in two simple words. Simple, yet at the same time, profound and so challenging. Go forward. And I want to suggest to you that today, as we stand and knock on the door of a new year, it's a time for us to do the very same thing spiritually in our lives before God. Go forward. Going forward represents progress. It represents growth. It represents accomplishing that which needs to be done. Standing still means allowing the enemies of righteousness to overtake us. Just as if the Israelites had stood there on the bank of the Red Sea without going forward and crossing over when God provided the way, Pharaoh and his army would have overtaken them. Going forward shows that we have the willingness to meet the needs of our brothers and sisters around us and of the world within our reach in spiritual fashion. Going forward means that we are serious about accomplishing God's purpose for us as a congregation of His people. And so there's no more time for waiting. There's no more time for lingering. There's no more time for putting off what needs to be done. In whatever way that instruction fits within our individual hearts and lives, let's go forward. I want you to notice something with me as we consider the story as it unfolds there in the early chapters of the book of Exodus. You will notice that as they stood there on the banks of the Red Sea, God did not say to them, you've done enough. You've been my people for many generations, and all that you've done in the past is sufficient so that now you may rest and take your ease. This is far enough. You can stop. God didn't say that, did He? There are those who would have God to say to us today, you've done enough. All the good that you've accomplished all these years, all the souls that have been won, all the victories that have been gained, all of the progress that you've made both individually and as a congregation, it's enough. You can rest now. Do nothing. Cut the cords of obligation and responsibility and let those things just drift on by you because you've done enough and now you can stop. I never heard God say that. Just between you and me, I don't think I ever will hear God say that. I don't think we'll ever be able to find it in His Word, in His will, that that's what He wants from us.
And so the question for each one of us this morning is, am I willing to go forward? Or would I prefer that God just tell me, hey, it's far enough. You can stop now. The fact is, this is not the time for staying. This is the time for going forward. In the spirit of God's exhortation to Israel on that occasion that we just read about, I believe that we are greatly challenged by Paul's words. Those words that Nicholas read to us a few minutes ago from Philippians chapter 3. Beginning at verse 12, I want us to listen to them again. Paul says, not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I also was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. In other words, Paul says, there's a purpose in this. There's something that I've got to accomplish. That's why Jesus, in a sense, that's why Jesus reached out and grabbed me. Because there's something that I've got to do. And so he says, I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This morning, I believe we have a vital opportunity to focus our attention on those things that we need to do in order to go forward, both as individuals and as a congregation of God's people. In the days ahead, we must go forward. Now, this doesn't, understand, I'm not saying that we're guaranteed a year or any time at all ahead of us. We have no promise that there will even be a tomorrow, but if it does come, if the new year subsequently does become a reality, we want to be ready to go forward into it with courage and determination to spend it serving God to the very fullest. And so in that interest, let's consider a few things. First of all, let me remind all of us that it can be helpful sometimes to look back. And even though we just read where Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching toward those things which are before, Paul doesn't mean that you never ever look back. We know that Paul looked back from time to time because it really bothered him that he had for a time lived his life as the chiefest of sinners. That he had laid waste to the church that Jesus purchased with his blood. That he had persecuted and even put to death those who were serving God in his day. And it bothered him. He'd made some mistakes. He didn't let those mistakes hold him back. But he was very much aware of where he had been. And that's what I mean when I say it can be helpful sometimes. Looking back is not always wrong. Honestly, I've spent a good bit of time looking back lately. I hope you have. As most of you know, we've just helped my mother to move here to Montgomery out of the house that she and Dad built and have been living in for the last 30 years.
Until, of course, Dad's death at the end of 2016, at which time Mother began to realize that coming to Montgomery, that she, like she'd always wanted to do, she says, was now becoming a reality. Yesterday, we went up there and helped to move what we thought and hoped was going to be the very last of the remnants of the Phillips family out of that house there on Highway 17 in Vernon, Alabama. Turns out it's going to take another trip. But even though I'd been several times already and hauled loads down here and taken possession of some of it, and I was still able to look through some things yesterday and ponder back across the years at some times that I was reminded of, things that triggered some memories. And I was reminded again of some things that are very important. I was able to fondly recall those earlier times. I was able to be encouraged by the evidence of the work that had been done by my father and by my mother in that community with that church there. I was able to be encouraged by their example and the recollection of their teaching, that it allowed me to grow up in a way that I believe was very good for me and hopefully good for those around me. In the same way, we can sometimes be encouraged by looking back at what has been done in the past and realizing that there is a path forward. Sometimes I'm afraid that some of us think that where we are right now is all there is. And we need to look back and see that where we are now is not where we were yesterday. And the only way we got here today is that we were willing to go from there to here now. And the only way that we'll get further tomorrow is if we'll, in that same spirit of willingness, determination, and courage, keep going forward. Looking back can sometimes even help us to make adjustments that need to be made. It will help us to see that maybe what we did before wasn't the best way, or maybe we're not finished with what we started yesterday. And we're reminded as we look back at it and we see that there is still yet to be done in this task. Looking back can help us to avoid making some of the same mistakes over and over. Looking back can help us to recognize some things that we missed that are still there that need to be done now. I've often illustrated this point with the fact that I spent a good bit of my time in the summers, at least, in spring and summer, growing up on the back of a tractor. Riding, first of all, with Dad as we would break the land and plant the seed. And I'd hop off and put the seed in the hoppers and the fertilizer in the hoppers, watching the planters, making sure nothing went wrong. And then I got to a point where I was allowed to do that myself. And oh, that was such a great day when Dad turned me loose on the tractor with the planters. And then the cultivator. But you know, that came to a screeching halt one day when Dad, obviously pretty angry, came running out into the field and stopped me. And he said, "If you don't look back, you're going to plow up this entire field of corn." I was happily looking forward, never looking back to make sure I was going in the right way. And I had literally plowed up a pretty good bit of corn. That's one of the aspects of looking back, noticing the mistakes that we made and seeing what needs to be done differently to do better. But understand that looking back and longing for the past and getting caught up in even taking steps backward is very harmful. Let's go forward. Number two, we need to recognize the fact that God has always said, go forward. As I said at the beginning, I can't find a single time when God said, go backward. I can't find a single time when God said, okay, you've served enough. Be lazy. God has always urged His people to go forward. In fact, when you read the Scriptures, you will be impressed with the fact that in biblical terminology, the righteous is defined in part by his progress. Defined in part by progress. For example, Job chapter 17 and verse 9. Nevertheless, the righteous will hold to his way, and he who has clean hands will grow stronger and stronger. He who has clean hands will grow stronger and stronger. Now, that's not a reference to ivory soap or anything like that. You know what that means. The one who lives the righteous life by the very virtue of the fact that you are striving for righteousness, you open the door to progress, to growth. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18 is one of my very favorites. It says, but the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. You ever seen a sunrise? Sure you have. Have you ever slowed down and paid attention to the fact that, first of all, you see the sky start to show just the faintest glow? You keep watching. And eventually, you'll see the old sun himself come up above the horizon. And what's happening all around you? Everything's getting brighter and brighter. And as the sun continues and the moments tick off the clock, the sun comes up. I know the sun's not really moving, it's the movement of the earth, but we describe it that way. But before long, it's full daylight, as we say. You ever seen that happen instantaneously? If you did, something was wrong. That's not how it happens, is it? It's gradual, little by little. The sun comes up and it gets brighter and brighter. It's exactly how the wise man of Proverbs 4 describes the righteous person. As we live righteousness, we get brighter and brighter. That's progress. That's how God defines the righteous. Like the dawn shining brighter and brighter and brighter. Somebody says, well, that doesn't apply to me. You wish it didn't apply to you. You may not be doing a good job of exemplifying that, but that's how God says it works. Righteousness is defined and described by progress. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Where Paul says this, but we all with unveiled face, the unveiled face part there is a reference back to the fact that Moses, when he went up into the mount,
came back down after receiving the law, and he had to wear a veil across his face because his face shone with the glory of God that he'd been exposed to, and the people couldn't even look at him. But Paul says, now we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Now when you look in a mirror, normally, who do you expect to see? You. When I look in a mirror, I'm expecting me to be there. But Paul says, spiritually speaking, when we behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, when we look at ourselves and we see that we do have a resemblance to the Lord. There's nothing wrong in thinking in this way. He's just simply saying, now when you examine yourself and you look at your life and you see, yes, I'm making progress here. I'm showing the traits of the Lord. He says we're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. In about three or four different ways in that verse, Paul is describing the fact that the child of God ought to be getting more, as that song says that we sang this morning before Sunday school, more and more like Jesus every step of the way. That's what we are to be. More and more like Jesus. Then in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15, in writing to the young preacher, Paul tells him there are some things that are very important. And then he says, take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. You know what that means? That means there's really no such thing as hiding the fact that you're a Christian. If you are in the business of becoming the kind of person that God wants you to be, it will be evident to those around you. Good people, bad people. They will not help but be able to notice. And now you see why I say that God has always urged His people to go forward, to grow, to become stronger. And there is, of course, the fact that the church must grow or it will die. And in order for the church to grow, what's got to happen? You and I as individuals, we are the church. And so for the church to grow collectively, we individually need to be growing. But the church is not going to grow. We go back to Paul's words in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 11. There in verse 11, Paul begins by speaking of the different duties and offices in the church and their work. And he says that the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we're no longer children tossed to and fro, here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, the craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, the proper working of each individual part. You know what you and I are? We're individual parts, causing the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love.
What is it? You want all of us to grow and you don't want to grow? You want all of us to be mature, spiritual Christians, but you want to stay in a half-hearted mode? You want to hang back? But you think we need to go forward? Can you imagine what would have happened there on the banks of the Red Sea when someone came to Moses? Moses, we've got a little situation here. We've got a pretty good-sized multitude of folks that want us to go forward, and they want to stay here. They want to quit. They're ready to retire. I remember something similar to that happened when part of the children of Israel, many, many years later, asked to have their inheritance on the east side of the Jordan instead of crossing over with everybody else and getting their land there. You remember what God's will was? God said, well, you can have the land on this side if you want it, but first you've got to go across the river with us and secure everything, and then you come back to yours. There never has been a time when God approved a plan of, I'm going to stay here, you go ahead. And yet, can you convince me, or anybody for that matter, that the pattern and the way that some people demonstrate their Christianity or their lack thereof is anything other than the idea, you need to grow, but I'm not going to. You don't need me to go down the list of common problems and failures of the local congregation to understand my point. It's not a matter of, yeah, we all need to grow, but I'm not going to. No way. Doesn't work that way. We need to go forward. I realize we're out of time for this lesson, but let me conclude by asking this question. What do we need? What do we need to go forward? We need a lot of things. We're going to talk about some of those things in detail tonight as we talk about building spirituality for the new year. I hope and trust that you are serious enough about going forward. I understand we've got some visitors here. They may not be back with us tonight, but I simply just cannot understand why any one of us of this congregation would not be back tonight, barring interference from bad health or some kind of tragedy. Can't understand why we wouldn't be back here tonight to consider building spirituality for the new year. We need unity. Well, there it is. We've got to be together, don't we? If we're not together, we're not going anywhere. We've got to love. You know, we'll take a good hard look at the matter of commitment in 2019, and I appreciate Jeff's reference to that in his prayer. You know, you can't be committed to something that you don't love. You can't be committed to it in the way that God says you must be committed if you don't love it. And that demands selflessness. It demands that we recognize the truth in the statement that we walk by faith and not by sight. A lot of other things that we'll talk about tonight, Lord willing. Go forward. That's what God said to Israel. That's what God is saying to you and me today. We don't have to wait until the last Sunday in the year to talk about things like this, or the first Sunday in a new year. I do believe it is appropriate, though, to call our attention on to the things that need to be recognized. And so let me just ask each of us, where are we? Are we going forward? Are we willing to go forward? Are we willing and courageous to go forward? If you're not a child of God, That is the first step that you must take, obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ in exactly the way that the New Testament describes it. Believing in Jesus as God's Son, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Him,